We are welcoming Sarah Gunn. She's a policy fellow at the South African Institute for Race Relations, our regular Thursday afternoon slot. And today we're going to be discussing the banning of the old flag and some of the implications of that. Good afternoon, Sarah.
Hi, what are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Fine. I've flown in from a conference in Kenya, which was fascinating, but my brain's a little fuzzy. So I've come to you with not as much, quite as much, shall we say, serious thought about this matter as perhaps I'd like to.
That's okay. We'll go easy on you. It's a Thursday afternoon. We'll be nice all around. What was your conference about?
It was basically, it was held by, it's under the auspices of a very large organization in the States, which tries to give assistance to organizations that promote liberty, particularly for students in African countries, as well as entrepreneurship, small business development, that sort of thing. A lot of the things we are actually very familiar with.
Yes.
And it was just, it was really fascinating. I've never been sort of north of Southern Africa, so it was really fascinating to see, because we had kids from Nigeria, from Uganda, from Cameroon, from South Sudan, Burundi. It was really actually quite... very, very, very interesting. Probably more interesting for me to watch and to actually, give of my whatever I was supposed to give.
Well, I would say because, in another life and in another job, I'm also involved tangentially in some of these things. And sometimes I think it's important for South Africans involved in things like entrepreneurial work and social development, local economic development, to go to Kenya, Ethiopia, Nigeria, Ghana even, to see that the rest of the continent is not looking at us for answers anymore, and they probably haven't for a while. We need to get with the program in a lot of cases, because if I look at what some of my counterparts are doing in Kenya the above mentioned countries, they're doing some fantastic stuff. We can actually learn from them rather than vice versa.
Absolutely. I think we tend to have a very inward looking view of ourselves and our importance. And there's no doubt in the direction that we're heading, none of the countries are not without problems. Some very much worse than others. Some keep on going one step forward, one step back type of thing. But there's no doubt you've got a commitment from a group of people who basically see libertarianism or classical liberalism as the answer for their country, and they're pursuing it. They work hard. They take information on board greedily in order to achieve their goals. And what's interesting is that if we think we've got them as sort of monopoly on the tragedies of the past for whether we grow or whether we don't grow, I've got news. We don't have. And they are grappling with the same issues, but there's to some extent, there's a really strong impetus to, you've got to acknowledge your past. It's got to inform you, but it mustn't dictate your future, because then you go nowhere. And
on that topic.
Yeah.
On that topic, we are talking about a landmark ruling in the courts in South Africa this week, Sarah, which is talking about how we grapple with and move on or don't from our past, and the tensions between themes like free speech, very much an issue of liberalism and individual liberties, versus other constitutionally protected rights like the right to dignity.
Look, I haven't dissected the judgment. I've just looked at parts of it. I mean, parts of it in the sense of to get a sense of where they were going. And the judgment essentially found that all aspects of the Equality Act that comply with hate speech work. That's what the flag does. It instills hate. It impairs dignity, and it can trigger violence. I've always felt that the act goes beyond the constitution, and I think somebody's challenging that, because the constitution is much narrower, and we as an organization would go for as narrow an interpretation of these things generally as possible, although we disagree amongst each other as to how narrow, because freedom of speech, we believe, is near sacrosanct. I mean, sacrosanct. Without it, you are likely, the society is likely to deteriorate in a whole lot of ways. But essentially, what the conclusion the judge came to was that the display of the old flag ticks all those boxes and therefore amounts to hate speech, even though it isn't speech as such. And the, they've interpreted, he's interpreted speech to mean more than just speech. It can be symbols and such as the old flag. Now, the fun, the thing is that most of the, both the Nelson Mandela Foundation who put forward the case and the respondents such as AfriForum, there wasn't a lot, much disagreement about the effect that the old flag could have on black South Africans. But so they argued both on the one hand on the effect, the negative effect it has and the reminder of a heinous system, and on the other side that it still has some meaning for a small group of people, even though they would agree that it's not something that should be displayed in public. Anyway, at the end of the day, the judge came out for banning it in public. However, there are a couple of things that are really worrying. The first is that although, I mean, we all people would understand a reaction to a symbol like that. A Nazi flag, a flag with a swastika, evokes a whole lot of feelings and experiences for most Jewish people. But whether I would go to so far as to say that it does invoke hatred and it does invoke likelihood of violence, I'm not so convinced about that. I mean, particularly if you think about the fact that when it is displayed, and arguably it's displayed very, very seldom. In fact, you almost never see it anymore. It's displayed by a minority, and it's displayed by a minority that feels that it's lost its power. It really hasn't a significant effective role in broader political society, and that the people that are being affected by the display are they may be affected by it, but they're politically in a much stronger place. And I'm not sure that it's necessarily a guaranteed thing that people would see it as creating an indignity, because you can look at it with a measure of sort of, you can laugh at it almost. And I think some people do, is they sort of see this as rather pathetic. And in many respects, it really is. But the problem is, what does it mean in terms of what's coming next? One of the amicus on behalf of the Nelson Mandela Foundation, and they basically put in a legal opinion on the matter, supported the banning of the flag was Johannesburg Pride, which is an LGBTQ organization. But we worried that there are certain flags that could very well come under sort of future attention, and the LGBTQ, the rainbow flag is one of them. The flag of Israel may be another. The hammer and sickle, the sign of the sort of iniquities of communism might be next. But the worst of all, and this is where it gets really, this is where it becomes idiotic rather than arguable, is that it bans the display of the old flag in private homes and in schools. Now, that's when your limitation on free speech becomes limitation on a whole lot of your personal and private rights, and it arguably is absolutely bizarre. For art and educational purposes, it can be shown, it can be displayed. A, who's going to police this? B, does it matter what you do in your private space? Of course it doesn't. It's not the state's role or anybody else's role to care what you do in your private space. So there's a whole lot of really nasty possibilities that flow from this, and I'll leave your listeners to think of perhaps one in particular that could, on the same argument, really present a problem. We have Julius Malema already saying that the next thing to go before the Equality Court will be the Afrikaans part of the national anthem. So we think that we also think that people can be hurt and can be offended, but can withstand the occasional display of the flag. But perhaps talking of private intrusion, let me ask a sort of funnier question, and perhaps more to your listeners in Cape Town than anywhere else. The DA in Cape Town, I gather, wants to fine people on beaches for swearing. And all I can say to that is good luck to them.
Yes, we, Sarah, we took some note of that ruling as well, which also seems to be, you know, controversial. What can I add? I agree with you.
As my grandmother would have said, we've gone from the sublime to the core blimey.
From the sublime to the core blimey. A new twist on an old idiom.
Yeah.
I think you're going to find some support as the SAIRR for the contention that the Equality Act does cast a much broader net than the Constitution, and that the idea of policing people's private homes is always going to be bad law because it's completely unworkable. There's no way to do it.
Yeah.
Mm. On those other issues, I'm sure the debate is going to continue. I wonder.
No, it's just the sense of that, you know, this opens up a whole set of arguments that, the foundation said that this would really be a reflection of Mandela's move for reconciliation. I don't think so. I'm not sure he would have been impressed by this.
We're going to have to leave it there. Saragon, thank you so much for coming through as you always do every Thursday, even though you've come back from Kenya moments before. Could have been worse. Could have been jet lag.
Absolutely. It's just tiredness.